Good morning. It's good to be here this morning and have this opportunity. We were just singing in last hymn, in the second verse, it says, "Though I forget him and wander away, still he doth love me. Wherever I stray, back to his dear loving arms would I flee, when I remember that Jesus loves me." Jesus does love us. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we just thank you so much for watching over us and for your love that is so great that we cannot comprehend. Help us this morning as you speak to us through your word. So you will help us to grow and help us to remember your love. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. To turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26:35, we see where Jesus is talking to Peter. And has just notified all the disciples that they were going to fall away from him. And Peter said, "No way! I'd never do that. Even if I had to die for you, I would not disown you." And Jesus said, "Well, tonight you're going to do that. You're going to do that three times." And in verse 69, we see this where it talks about that. And he says, "Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. 'You also were with Jesus of Galilee,' she said. But he denied it before them all. 'I don't know what you're talking about,' she said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another girl saw him, and said to the people there, 'This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth.' He denied it again with an oath, 'I don't know the man.' After a little while, those standing there went to Peter and said, 'Surely, you are one of them, for your accent gives you away.' Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, 'I don't know the man.' Immediately, a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken, 'Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times.' And he went outside and wept bitterly." I grew up in Ecuador. I was born and raised down there. And I went to school out in a jungle base out in the jungle in Limoncocha. And it was a two classroom school. And it was, we had kindergarten through fourth grade in one classroom, and then fifth through sixth or seventh grade in the other classroom. And I remember one time when I was in second grade, the teacher would always have a Bible lesson every morning, and we would draw pictures about what we heard in the stories. Well, one morning she came and she showed us a picture, and didn't have a name on it. And she said, "This picture does not have a name. Whose is it?" And us boys, I'm sure she probably knew whose it was, since there was only five or six of us in the classroom. But she showed the picture and asked who it was and whose it was, and we kind of looked at it, and us boys, we started making fun of it. It was a picture of some people standing around with some weird spiky hairdos on top of their heads, and we kind of made some comments about it. And then the teacher made a comment that rung a bell in my head. She goes, "I think this is a picture of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down like flames on their heads, you know?" And all of a sudden I remembered, "Oops, that's my picture." all of a sudden it's very clear. I remember drawing it, but I already made fun of it, and everybody else has. So basically, I just said, no, it's not mine. Everybody else said it wasn't theirs, but they were telling the truth. I wasn't. And I never accepted that picture. I disowned that picture. I imagine the teacher finally threw it away. And we do that in our daily lives. We disown, as Peter did here, we disown Jesus. We do it in different ways. Sometimes it's not, as Peter did, outright talking. But a lot of times, I know in my own life, times that I've been in town, down in the jungle, and I meet up with somebody from the U.S., and they invite me to eat or something, and I go over, and we sit down to eat, and they get their food, they start eating, and I go, well, I should pray, you know, from before this meal, you know. And what is he going to think? And we start thinking about others and what they're going to think about us. And so you go, I'll just pray in my mind. Same thing. So you sit there and you go, dear Lord, thank you for this food and help me be a witness for you. Amen. We do not sing for him. We're basically, in a way, disowning that we know him. Many of the Kofans, which are the people that we work with down there, when they become a Christian, one of the biggest struggles that they have is with drinking. And once again, they come into situations where they go in and they meet up with some friends, and the friends go, hey, come over here, let's have a drink. And they go, oh, I shouldn't do that, you know, I might get carried away and get drunk and stuff. But they don't want to say, hey, no, I'm a Christian now. I'm not going to do that. Now they go, I'm taking some medication. I can't drink and take the medication at the same time. And once again, they disown Christ in that way. But we find in 2 Timothy 2:11, and 12 and 13 says, here is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure with him, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithful, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown his own himself. Here it says that he will disown those who disown him. But it also says that he is faithful. And we see in Peter's life, we go on to John 21:15-19, we find where Jesus reinstates Peter and says, comes up to Peter and says, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, I love you. And he said, well, feed my sheep. And he said that three times. And he said, hey, Lord, you know my heart. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. In the passage in Matthew, right after we see the Peter of his denial, Christ, and he went outside and wept bitterly. We also see a picture of Judas Iscariot. He also had a form of repentance. He went back and he gave back the money that he had taken for it. But it says Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and he hanged himself. God is faithful and He wants us to return to Him. Sometimes we do fall and sometimes we do have struggles like that. And we tend to have basically because of fear that we of others and circumstances that we disown Christ. But He is faithful and He will reinstate us. We find Peter not too long after that, at the day of Pentecost. Find that in Acts 2:14 and following. We see him there, and once again he's faced with a lot of people coming, and some of them even accusing them of being drunk. And he gets up there, and he starts preaching, and he starts telling about Christ, and he's shining for him. I drew another picture when I was back in second grade. These are the only two pictures I remember ever drawing in that class. I knew we'd do it every day, but this other picture was a picture of a house with a table in it, with a couple people sitting around with a candle sitting in the middle of the table, shining out. And the reference for that one was Matthew 5, verses 14 and following. You are the light of the world. A city on the hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. This verse is in one of my favorite verses. A lot of great verses in the Bible, but this one has stuck with me ever since the second grade as one that has really encouraged me throughout my life to just shine for Him. Fear in our lives keeps us away from doing just that, shining for Him. In the 23rd Psalm, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's always with us. He's always there with what we need. It goes on in verse 4, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff that comfort me. And He is there. He's always there. Even in the time of the darkest hours, we don't need to be afraid. We can shine for Him. One of my Kofan friends, Pablo, we were doing a missionary trip up to one of our upriver villages, and he was going to be the motorboat driver for us. And his wife was going along, and then two other men, one other elder from the community, the church there, and another young believer. And we were going to go up and do just a mission trip up there, because that village was hadn't had much contact. And so we were getting ready, and I told everybody, I said, okay, I want everybody who's going along, I want you to at least share your testimony up there. And so he came to me and, oh, Ron, I'm scared to go up there. There's some really big witch doctors up there. Some witch doctors who are powerful. And I'm just scared to go up there and share my faith with the people up there. I don't know what they'll do to me. I shared some verses with him. 1 John 4:4, which is, dear children, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. And out of such a wonderful promise that God is greater than he that is in the world and all the wiles of the devil. And I share that verse with him, and also Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? And also Hebrews 13:6, also another question. What can man do for us against us? You know, there's nothing that we can fear with Christ on our side. He's so much more powerful. We don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be afraid of what other people are thinking or what other people might do to us. I shared these verses with him and prayed with him, and then I went up to Quito, the capital city, drop off my family. It was a thing that I normally do whenever I'm going on a mission trip. I drop off my family up in the city, and then I went back down there, and he came up to me and he said, "Ron, I don't have that fear anymore. If God has taken that fear away, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to show my faith." And he did. And he said, even after that, he come back to me and said, "Ron, I used to be afraid to go, but now I'm not." And it's just a wonderful to see how God worked in his life at that point when he was so afraid. Nothing did happen to us. We had a great time up there, and we had several come to know Christ, and it was just a great time. That community has had a real hard time. There's been a lot of struggles because Catholics are in there, and rouse up the people a lot. And so we've had some just verbal persecution through going up there, but we've been able to go back there a number of times, and we're praying to the Lord that he will continue to open up doors for us to go back there even more. Another young man in the village, Gonzalo, he was another one who, he came to me and he said, "You know, Ron, what about all of our taboos, you know, all of our superstitions that we have? You know, do we really need to be afraid of them?" And they have lots and lots of them. And I kept on telling him, I just said, "No, you know, the Lord is greater." And I shared pretty much the same verses with him, saying, we do not need to be afraid of these superstitions. And he came to me later and he said, I went out there to prove those superstitions wrong. And he went, he did some of the things that in their superstitions they said, you know, don't do or else your child will die or this will happen. Majority of the ones that he was working on her testing was about his child, when his child was born, and there were certain things that you were not supposed to do. You weren't supposed to go out into a swampy area in the jungle. You weren't supposed to eat certain types of meat and things like that. Well, he came to me and he said, "Ron, I went out there and I spent all day out there. Nothing happened to my son." And says, "The Lord is stronger than the things of this world." Matthew 10:28 says, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." And that's what we need to really remember always, is that God is greater and that he is the one who's in control of what will happen to us in the future. not the one that's here in this world. We need to put our trust in Him, accept Him as our Savior, and go out there and shine His light for Him, and just be a good witness for Him. And that's what we need to do today. Thank you. That's